This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best. This is the best of the best show, the new version of the best show. And for people who don't know, the best show takes place each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. till midnight over at thebestshow.net. And if you are new to the program, these are little bite-sized greatest hits samples of what we do every week. So check this out. And if you want more, you can listen to the full 3-hour extravaganza and check it out. And if you want to support the best show, the way to do that is to download the episodes and to give us reviews on iTunes and to tell people that the show is back and that you like it. So please check out this new episode of Best Show Best. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Tim in West Hollywood.
Tim in West Hollywood. What's up, Tim?
Got two for the topic.
For the topic of the worst fictional characters of all time. Well, who do you have?
First up is the Can You Hear Me Now guy from the Verizon
No. Come on.
No?
No. Right.
The second one is Mater the tow truck from Cars. Larry the Cable Guy's Pixar character.
Yeah, I didn't see that movie. Cars. I didn't see that one.
How
is that it? All right, thanks. I'm being told to go to the hotline to disregard these regular folk, the lunch pail crowd, the ham and eggers. I'm being told that they can take a back seat to this person who's on the hotline now. I'm being told. Hello?
Hello?
I'm being told that right on the hotline we have the director for the number one movie on the planet, Ant-Man.
Tom, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's Peyton Reed calling in. I don't know if you're direct to the number one movie of the that's out in the world basically right now. Can you hear me?
I can. It's the director of Ant-Man, Peyton Reed. How are you?
I'm good. If my phone cuts out, it's because I'm on a really remote part of the Hawaiian Isles right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Hang on. Can you hang on 1 second, Tom?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I can.
Two more pina coladas.
Oh, this is.
And then some, like some chips and guacamole, and maybe some of. If you have any sort of like, do you have some local dishes that I might enjoy?
I love.
That's great. Thank you so much. Hey, Tom.
I love how, to you, you're throwing chips and guacamole around as if no one else can get their hands on that. You have to go to Hawaii to get your hands on chips and guacamole.
Okay, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they were invented in Hawaii.
The research team will look into that. We'll get some answers. Yeah. First of all, Peyton Reed, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Tom.
For getting Ant-Man, Marvel's Ant-Man, all the way to being done and to being great.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. And, you know, for those listeners out there who don't know me, I'm really not ordering guacamole. That was just a bit. That was just a thing.
Yeah, is that...
I thought I could try. You know, I'd read when I was a kid that Spielberg and Lucas used a vacation in Hawaii after a movie, and it just seemed like the cool thing to do or say. I apologize for that.
No, that's all right. I think everybody still realizes you're a humble guy. They realize you're.
Hank, can you hang on one quick second? Hold on one second.
Okay.
I'd ask for two pina coladas. No. Just for myself. Just two. That's one, not two.
Hey, sorry about that.
This is terrible. Now, Ant-Man, Marvel's Ant-Man, Peyton, can you tell us about when did you? Because you were not.
Is this Hawaiian chips?
This
is guacamole. Is this? I'd ask for local Hawaiian guacamole. There is such a thing, ma'am. I'm so sorry, Tom.
Now that's all right. And when you did the Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man.
I did, yes.
It started like a year ago, right? You came on pretty late in the game.
That's correct.
And what is it like to jump on a something moving that's already moving at that point?
Oh, it's really fun. It's really fun.
Is it good for your health?
It's good for your health. You just, you dive right into the thing. There's no waiting around and sort of... There's no downtime. There's zero leisure time. You just dive right into it. But yes, I came into the movie after another director had left the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not an ideal way to come into a movie, but I have to say I had a blast doing the movie. It was a really amazing experience, and really got to get in there. And I didn't know for sure what it was going to be like working at Marvel, but I loved it because. They really gave me a lot of latitude in making changes to the movie and really making it our own. And Adam McKay, who I believe you know,
yes,
and Paul Rudd, who you also know,
yes,
McKay and Rudd came on to do the rewrites of the script as I came on to direct. So we really those guys holed up in a room and started, just working night and day on the script. And I joined them for some of it, and then immediately went to Georgia and started prepping the movie.
Yeah, and if you filmed it down in Georgia, and it's like, that's like the film capital of America now.
It has become that, yeah. It's, there's this thing where, every so often, every couple of years, a new state has a tax incentive, and not only does Georgia apparently have a really good tax incentive, but they've just built this amazing Pinewood Studios Atlanta down there, and we were actually the first movie to shoot there, and the stages are amazing. I mean, it really is. We were the first ones there, so it really felt like they had just taken the wrapping paper off the stages. It was great.
Now, when you're down there also, because you are a Southern guy, I guess for you it's like you get to now put that white suit on. Now you get to be back at home, right? Like
the white suit. Are you saying that that I'm directed in a white suit because I was in the South?
Well, like, you get it just to be more, like, in touch with who you are. You get to put the white suit on with black tie, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not Colonel Sanders. I just kind of wore whatever I would normally wear to...
That's not how... I thought that's how you directed, like, that was your version of Alfred Hitchcock, was that you would wear your white Colonel Sanders suit.
Oh! I think I know what you're talking about. I think I did wear a seersucker suit with white bucks every day that I directed. Yes,
uh-huh.
That must be what you're talking about. Yes.
Now, Peyton Reed, director of Marvel's Ant-Man, tell me this. There's a thing that's been a secret history of the Best Show with you, going way back to the beginning of the Best Show that no one... It's never been acknowledged publicly, I don't think. Has it?
I certainly have never acknowledged it publicly. Have you ever spoken about this?
No, I haven't.
Are we actually going to speak about this now? Is this
Should we?
Happen?
We might as well.
All right, so let's go back. The year must have been, what was it, 1998, 99?
No, probably would have been more like 2000... late 2000,
oh,
early
you're right.
2001.
You're exactly right, yes. I remember now. Do you want me to set it up?
Sure, why don't you set it up? You set it up.
All right, well, okay. So there had been a movie that had come out called Star Wars The Phantom Menace, the first of the prequel movies. There was a huge, as you remember, huge build-up to the movie coming out.
People went out of their minds. Then people went and saw the movie, and I think it's safe to say that we're the majority of the audience might have been a little disappointed in the movie, but it didn't keep them from being rabid about Star Wars. In some ways, it only increased it, because then it was all this conjecture about what was going to happen in the later movies. I think was it after Phantom Menace, or was it after the second one?
I think it was after Phantom Menace, but the second one hadn't come out yet.
That's right. So there was all this conjecture about, I don't think the title had been announced.
No.
For the second one, is that right? Yeah. So
you called in.
I called into your show, and I told the audience that I was a disgruntled former employee at Lucasfilm. I was really pissed off because I left Lucasfilm under some very difficult circumstances, and I was going to share with the world all the secrets I knew about the upcoming Star Wars
the
movie.
You were the Star Wars insider, I think, was what you had been referred to as.
That's right.
And you started saying all these things about what was going to happen in Episode 2, if I remember, I think is what it was.
That's right. I spilled some of the big secrets I spilled were, currently the current cut, if it had gone to the MPA, would definitely have gotten an R rating.
Yeah.
They're trying now to shave it back to PG-13, but guys, this movie comes at you hard. I mean, it is way, way darker. I mean, the way in the original trilogy, Empire Strikes Back, Chapter 2, the second of those movies went dark, this movie is gonna go darker. George Lucas has heard the fans, and he's just done a 180 from that first movie. It's going really, really dark.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I talked about the fact that there was a scene between Anakin Skywalker and Amidala Padme, whatever they were calling her.
Yeah.
That was a love scene, but it was Anakin going dark, and it really
it was like assault.
Yeah, it was a really dark, assaultive scene. That was the one in particular that was going to maybe garner them an R rating. And then I think I even said the title of this movie. It was Star Wars Episode 2, Veil of the Sith, or something. Like
And the funniest thing to me was that there was a point where you said a phrase that made it sound like you had the code word on things, because what was Star Wars? What was it? Because one of the movies was like the fake title for it
Return of the Jedi was the one I remember that the shooting title was Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
And what was the title? What was the fake working?
Something about orange something? Did you say, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was orange.
Because it got a lot of traction on these Star Wars message boards, and people were just I think this guy's
which
real.
Which is really my goal.
Yeah,
that's
no, that
really
was
my goal. If you can get traction on a Star Wars message board, then you've really done it.
Yeah.
Then you're really on the map.
Yeah, I think, and that did. It was so funny to see that get traction, and nobody knew. No, we've never said that was you until now. This many years later. 15 years later, we are now.
I believe that's what you call a revelation.
Yes, that's a hot one. Now,
did you know coming into the night show that there was going to be a revelation like that? There was going to be
a full-on entertainment bomb dropped.
Of that
magnitude? No, I did not.
Yeah.
Now,
it feels good, honestly, to finally get that out there and off my chest. I've been holding that secret for a long time.
Good. I'm glad you got that off your chest, Peyton Reed, director of Marvel's Ant-Man in theaters now. Now, one thing, the big controversy about this movie, obviously, Ant-Man, is why, and this is from my community as much as anything, the fans who listen to this show want to know why Scott Lang, the Paul Rudd character, did not have orange hair the way he did in the in the comic books.
Okay, so is this in a comment that you've been getting more than once? Has someone?
Yes, it's pretty all encompassing here.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. I guess let's just talk about Scott Lang with orange hair. I don't know. You know, was there an issue that maybe the colorist decided to give him orange hair? I mean, I remember in the, you know, our movie very loosely uses Marvel premiere number 47 to steal an Ant-Man as its jumping off point. I don't think that Scott Lang in that issue had red hair.
Well, people on this side of the street.
Who's saying? Have you actually gotten?
Yes, there's a
what
few.
What do you get there on the show? Do you get mail? Do you get email? What do you get?
We get email. We get calls. We get tweets. We get message board posts. It's pretty. There's all means of communication here. So you're just saying that's a false thing that he should not have had orange hair. That's a non-issue for you guys. You did not consider Paul Rudd dyeing his hair orange.
No, I like the idea, and maybe if we were fortunate enough to be able to make a sequel to Ant-Man, we could retroactively, you know, create a storyline where he had dyed his hair to sort of a Paul Rudd brown, you know, because he was a cat burglar, and if he'd been a red-haired cat burglar, the first thing you do would be dye your hair like a reddish brown. So I was really, I have to say, I was unaware of that. I'd love to know who.
Well, I'm not
who was sort of leading the charge on that, but I don't know. Maybe whoever's leading this charge got an Ant-Man issue that the colorist just the colors didn't really translate at the printer.
Like they didn't line up correctly. So you're saying it's a problem at the plant more than.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
So
it could have been a printing issue. I mean, it really could have been a printing issue. But I don't think we were ever planning to have Rudd dye his hair.
All right.
Red.
Now what? Give us something. Give us something that you haven't said yet about Ant-Man. Give us something that gets that makes the people's wigs flip.
All right, I'm going to give you something right now. You already know this, but I don't think your listeners probably know this. You, Tom Sharpling, this is a double Tom Sharpling whammy. You, Tom Sharpling, gave me, as a housewarming gift in, I think, 1997, 1998, a full set of 7-Eleven Slurpee Marvel Comics cups. Do you remember this?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, probably my favorite housewarming gift I ever got. I still have the cups.
You hear that, Mike? Class. I'm just saying it to my associate producer who thinks I'm low class.
No. This was absolutely a high class move.
Thank you.
And of course, Ant-Man was on one of those cups. Your collection. I'm assuming it was a collection, and that was what made the gift so special because there were a lot of them, and your collection went deep because there was an Ant-Man one. There was. It was a really great gift, which...
Yeah, they knew me at that 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they must have. Did you work at that 7-Eleven?
I might as well have worked there for the amount of time I spent there.
And then, Tom, can we talk about a lotto scene? Can I talk about...
Sure.
Can I talk about a scene that we shot for Ant-Man?
Now, this is a third bomb that's being dropped with Ant-Man.
Yeah, and this is the real truth bomb. This is a truth bomb.
Yeah.
So Tom, I think I think Tom's being modest. I think that's what's happening here. Tom actually came down to Atlanta to the Pinewood Studios where we were shooting Marvel's Ant-Man, and not only hung out on the Penn Technology stage for some time,
But we shot a scene in downtown Atlanta. It was actually a montage sequence that ended up not making it into the movie, but I guarantee you it's going to be a part of the DVD and Blu-ray release. But Tom, you had a scene with Mr. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd, as Scott Lang, went into a convenience store to purchase some lotto ticket. And who sold him that ticket?
I did.
That's right. Tom Sharpling had a scene with Scott Lang in Marvel's Ant-Man. Now, and I have to clarify, that scene was cut.
It's not in the, not theatrical.
Not in the theatrical. We cut that entire sequence because it ended up that it was a point in the movie where we just decided to take that whole sequence out. It didn't really serve the story anymore, and it was one of maybe five really quick scenes in a larger sequence that we simply cut from the movie. But it will be on the DVD and Blu-ray.
So I'll be on the Ant-Man Blu-ray.
You will be in the supplemental section on the Ant-Man DVD and Blu-ray, and I believe that does qualify you to be nominated for a Suppy for Best Supplemental Material. So I don't know who your press people are on your end, publicists or whatever, but I would get them on that Suppy campaign as soon as possible.
For your consideration. So like for your consideration.
Yeah.
And a shot of me selling Paul Rudd a lotto ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was someday. Because that was fun. So that's the best Ant-Man scoop you got? That's it? Tell people about why. Why is Garrett Morris? Answer for people who don't know why Garrett Morris is in Ant-Man. Why does he play a cab driver in Ant-Man?
There's a brief moment at the end of the first sequence where Scott Lang uses the Ant-Man suit and shrinks down. He's very quickly thrust into all these situations. He's got to react. It ends with him, you know, bulleting out a window and landing on the top of a car that's parked in the Tenderloin area of San Francisco. And we cut quickly to the guy who's, you know, at the wheel of the car, and it's Garrett Morris. And I've been in screens where a couple of people have been like, why is that guy from Two Broke Girls in Ant-Man? And he doesn't really have one line, and they leave him. But the whole reason, and Tom, you know this, is that technically Garrett Morris is the original on-screen Ant-Man. Now, it was the small screen, not the big screen, but there was an SNL sketch, that Saturday Night Live, for the uninitiated. It's also SNL, Tom. Let's face it.
Wow, this is you are in show business.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, really breaking it down for your listeners right now. But it was that season two? I think it was season two.
So there was a sketch where it had to do with all the superheroes hanging out.
Margot Kidder was hosting the show. Mm-hmm. It was a sketch called Superhero Party, and John Belushi played the Hulk, and who else was in that? The Flash, it mixed Marvel and DC characters, so Superman was in it, The Flash was in it, and then, of course, they were all meeting and greeting, talking to each other as equals, and then Ant-Man shows up, and the whole rest of the sketch becomes about, hey, sir, what are your powers, how all that, and then they're just making fun of Ant-Man the entire rest of the sketch.
Mm-hmm. That was the tribute to the original Ant-Man, putting him in the movie. That was awesome.
I was concerned, you could not make an Ant-Man movie and not have a Garrett Morris cameo.
So he made the final cut. Greg Turkington makes the final cut. The lotto ticket salesman, not so essential to the thing. Although, and I've heard a lot of people say there's like a character thing. You're just not sure why this character is Ant-Man and all that stuff, and that there probably should have been some sort of like lottery scene to kind of really help flesh out like the who is this guy and that. But look, that's you're the director. I'm not. I was just.
These are the tough decisions that have to be made in the cutting room. I mean, you know. You've heard the term cutting room floor.
I have.
You were right there. I mean, you were right there at ground zero on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a special situation to be in. Not many people have the honor, I think, of being right there.
Well, it'll be exciting. This is what's going to be exciting when Ant-Man 2 happens, and then it'll be like, wait, who's the only person who played two different characters in both Ant-Man movies?
And well, then exactly.
That'll be me, because I'll be in a thing. I'll be like, look out, Ant-Man! Right?
So wait, who's the guy who yells, look out, Ant-Man?
Me!
Okay.
I want to be in the scene... The scene that every superhero franchise has to have where the citizens rise up to, like, show that they've got Ant-Man's back.
Sure.
And then, like, the villain is, like, smashing stuff up, and there's like, hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man. That's
yeah,
what I want to say.
Superman 2 scene. It's the Superman 2
yeah.
scene.
Hey, yeah. You can't do that to Ant-Man. And then I get, like, obliterated by, like, someone with, like, laser eyes or something.
You could be on, you know, you could be on roller skates. Maybe there's a lot of wind happening. You could be on roller skates.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get
blown backwards.
Like, you're in a phone booth. You're making a really important call.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a huge, you know, wind. I don't know. We'd have to figure that out in the script. Maybe you could blow the phone booth over, but you're so intent on making that call, you stay on the phone even though the whole booth, you know, blows around. You know, I don't know. Maybe you've got a toupee on. Blows the toupee off. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
There is a lot of possibilities. Now, Peyton Reed, you're on vacation. I don't want to take much more of your time here.
If vacation is changing baby diapers, yes, I'm on vacation.
Congratulations. Seriously, look, you know I'm lucky enough to call you friend.
Yes.
I am nobody is more excited for you than the way this has all gone for you, because the movie truly is great, and it stays fun. You know what's funny is the movie's funny the whole time while it's exciting and stuff. It's a good time. I was so happy that you kept the spirit of the movie from beginning to end, and it's weirdly funny the whole way, and it's also, in its own way, the trippiest Marvel movie.
I like hearing that. No, I think, Tom, you were absolutely one of the first people I called when I got this job and when I was going to do Ant-Man, because you and I have talked about Marvel characters for absolutely as long as I've known you. That's been one of the go-tos that we've always had.
Yeah.
Is Marvel.
Yeah. It might be the only thing we have in common.
Wait a second, what?
No, but... Seriously, I'm super proud of you, and I'm so happy the movie came out the way it did. You did a great job, and everybody loves it, and they should.
Well,
they're right to love it.
Listen, Ant-Man is still in theaters, and yeah. I have to say, you know, it's if you're whether you're a fan of 3D or not, you know, I'm not someone who's always loved 3D. The 3D on this movie is amazing. If you get a chance to see it in 3D, it's really awesome.
Okay. I'm going to see it in 3D.
I just like my movie.
I'm going to see it in 3D. Now, just one thing. Is this the... Not that I'm... this is the one with the minions in it?
No. That's Minions. That's
oh, wait. You didn't do that one? Oh, I thought
you did that movie. No, that's an animated. That's an animated movie. I did not...
Which one did you do?
I wrote down animation. Ant-Man, the one that you've referenced several times on.
Oh, I walked out of that one. I thought this was me. I thought you did Minions.
Nope. I directed Ant-Man. And if I may ask, what led you? What prompted you to walk out of the theater?
My phone was ringing. No, okay, I loved it. And I'm going to say this: if anybody wants to see a tour de force from Peyton Reed, you check out On Cinema. The Oscar special, and you'll get it's a tour de force watching you and Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington.
That was fun to do. I did their On Cinema Oscar special this year, and Tim had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah,
he had basically a 2.5 hour meltdown.
It was
painful to watch.
Yes. What's next for a Peyton Reed?
Well, listen, let's see what happens. I mean, if we're fortunate enough to do a sequel to Ant-Man, I would be way into doing it. Got a couple of other things in development. One, a big science fiction thing, which I will certainly talk to you about at a future date.
Uh-huh.
But who knows? I'm not sure. We'll see
what
happens.
All right. Well, just remember this.
Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man.
Can you try one more time, but with a southern dialect? Just give me a southern accent.
Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man.
Hey, it's weird. That voice that you just did reminds me, when Paul Rudd was on your show a few weeks back, you guys did a sort of dueling imitation of Peyton Reed thing.
Sure,
and that voice that you just did sounded remarkably like the voice that you did as me.
Yeah, yeah, that was you.
Hey,
that was me.
Hey, it's Peyton Reed. Action! cue the ants! And ants skin.
Ancient? I said ancient instead of action?
Yes, because it's Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
Look.
That's a really good imitation. I like that.
Ancient!
Well, look, I'm going to let you go. Go back. Enjoy your vacation. You earned it. And we will talk to you soon.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
buddy. See you later.
Okay, bye. Is that Peyton Reed? See? You don't know who's going to call the best show. See that, Mike? I did a thing for it. I didn't tell anybody. I did a scene. I didn't make the cut. Almost made the cut. Weird life Tom's got, huh? Weird life Tom's got. You turn around one day, Tom's in a Derek Jeter commercial, right? You ever see that, Mike? Weird. Made more money off that Derek Jeter thing, and I didn't make much at all, but I got paid more than I've ever been paid for every minute of the best show I've ever done combined. Four, and tip the cap. Okay. Reset, tip the cap. And reset, tip the cap. Okay, that's a wrap on that shot. But that sometimes life don't give you what you want where you're supposed to get it. Not what you can do about that, man. Look, is this show unpopular? Yeah, it is. It's wildly unpopular. Would I have been better off with the best show having been like one of these other things I hear, these other shows with a hook? Yeah, I would have been better off. This show ain't got no hook, man. No hook. Right? Except for it's the best thing you ever heard. It's the only hook we got. The only hook we got. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes. I want to thank Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, John Worster, of course, and you. And once again, listen to The Best Show live each and every Tuesday night on your computer at thebestshow.net. Thanks so much. Bye.